My name is Russ Marin. I am the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. Today I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 4. I'd like to read verse 1 to you right now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Isn't that true today? Many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we have to be careful what we're hearing, what we are reading, because many things are untrue. Today we'll be in 1 John chapter 4. Please get your Bibles, turn there, and let's go right now to the Monclova Road Baptist Church Auditorium for today's message. This passage today in 1 John chapter 4 deals with loving the brethren and whether or not you're really saved. But in Matthew 7, the Bible says that many people will say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things for you. I did all these things in your name. I told people I was a Christian. I believed in God. And then Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me because I never knew you. So apparently, in a group such as this, there will be some who believe that they are saved and have never honestly been saved. Now listen, I'm talking to my pastors. I'm talking to my pastor's wives. I'm talking to my Sunday school teacher. I'm talking to teenagers that go to our school. There is nothing that will be worth finding out someday that you sat through these services and you were not honestly saved. So this important message. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, he's talking to believers. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Now, verse 1 says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Examine the spirits. We have true prophets. True prophet just being a person that is teaching the truth. Whether it's a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, evangelist, missionary, true prophet is preaching, teaching the truth. False prophet carries his Bible. False prophet says Jesus was a good man. Jesus, good teacher. Jesus was wise. False prophet may say Jesus is the greatest man that ever walked on this earth. False prophet, he may say that Jesus was a genius. But now listen very closely. A false prophet will never say that Jesus was God in the flesh. A false prophet believes Jesus, great man, good teacher, whatever, but he will stop short of Jesus being God in the flesh, God himself. We believe in God the Father. Well, you know, to be a father, you need to have a son. And he had a son in Jesus Christ. Christ has always existed from the beginning, and he will always exist. He did not begin at birth. He's always been. In Colossians, it says that Jesus Christ was the creator of the universe. So the false prophet, look here, verse 3 and verse 5, it says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. They'll say that Jesus was a God, but they won't say that Jesus was the God. It says here that this is the spirit of Antichrist, against Christ, instead of Christ, whereof ye have heard that it should come, And even now already is it in the world. So even during the disciples, when the apostles were living, the spirit of Antichrist was already there. The false teacher, the false prophet had already arisen and was trying to cause confusion. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, every Christian has the spirit. Look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. When a person is born again, the Bible says that God himself comes from above and indwells you. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is within you. The Spirit of God lives within you. Greater is he that is in you than he that lives in the world. That would be Satan. Christ is greater. God is greater. So we're to try every spirit. Examine what I say. Make sure what I say agrees with the Bible. If what I say does not agree with the Bible, then the Bible is right and I am wrong. When we bring preachers in here to preach, examine what they say. Make sure what they say agrees with the Word of God. When you hear someone on the radio, examine what they say. Every person you hear on the radio is not a true prophet of God. Every person you hear talk about God is not a true prophet of God. The Bible says in Corinthians that Satan comes as an angel of light. He comes as a deceiver. He is an imitator. He is a liar. He will say many things that are true, and then he will slide things in that are not true. But he will always stop here at the deity of Christ. He will not say or teach or believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Christ means the anointed one. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that had been promised to come, the one that was going to be the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. He is the Christ. Always watch for that. Now, there are many other false teachers that teach many other false things, but examine them, listen to them, pay attention, because everyone you hear is not a true prophet. Now I want to go to chapter 4, verse 7, and the rest of this chapter, from verse 7 to verse 21, talks about loving the saints. Loving the saints. A saint is a believer in Jesus Christ. A saint is not someone who's done super spectacular miracle type things. A saint is a person who has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So if you know Christ as your Savior and you're living for God, you're a saint. If you know Christ as your Savior and you're out of fellowship, you're still a saint. Every born-again believer is a saint. And from verse 7 on, it talks about loving the saints. Our love for God, now listen, our love for God is proven by our love for each other. I've pastored for 25 years. I've had some people that are hard to love. But my love for them proves that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. That if you got to know everybody here today, you'd probably find someone that's not your favorite person. But your willingness to love them, to be concerned about them, is evidence, it's proof that you are really a believer and that you love God. Let's look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Everyone that loves the saints is born of God. Now there's three Greek words for love. And in America today, we use the first one a lot and we call all of them love. One Greek word is eros, E-R-O-S, or erotic love, sensual love, sexual love. It's never used in the Bible, so obviously he's not using it here, but it's what a lot of American people think of when you think of love today. The second is phileo love, or what we call brotherly love. Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. Phileo love is, I love you as a friend, I love you as a brother. It's not as deep as the third one, which is agape love, A-G-A-P-E, agape love. Agape love is, I am going to love you unconditionally. I am going to love you regardless of what you do. I am going to love you regardless of what your personality is. I'm going to love you whether you love me or not. I love you, and that's what this verse is saying here. And when we talk about love during this chapter, it's talking about agape love. So let's look at verse 7 again. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us have agape love one for another. For agape love is of God, and everyone that loveth in this way is born of God. You have been born again and knoweth God. Now, there's an acid test here, an acid test. I'm not talking about loving your parents, not talking about loving your kids, not talking about loving your cousins or your grandparents. I am talking about loving every believer here, loving every believer, whether they have hurt you or whether they have not, whether they have a special place for you or not. The real believer that is born of God loves people. He loves other Christian people, all right? Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, I'm going to ask you a tough question before we're done today, because probably most people in here, at some point, you have been hurt by someone in this room. I'm going to ask you if you love them, because if you don't love them, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. I love my kids. That's a given for all of us, isn't it? I love my wife. I love my I don't have grandparents now, but you know, to love those people, obviously we love those people. That's not the question. The believer loves the people of God. And it is evidence that not only are you saved, it's evidence that you love God. All right? Verse 9. And this was manifested, or and this was revealed, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God proved that he loved you and me at Calvary. God proved that he loved us when he gave his Son to go to the cross and to be nailed to the cross, to suffer and to bleed and to die. God proved his love. So verse 9 says, in this was it revealed, the love of God towards us, that Christ went to the cross and Christ paid for our sin. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Propitiation means satisfaction. Propitiation means atonement. Propitiation means mercy seat. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was there, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And at the end of the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, the priest, the high priest, would take the blood of the sacrificial lamb into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. That's where God dwelled. And God, looking through the shed blood, would forgive Israel of their sins, and they would be good for another year. So God would bring the blood of the sacrificial lamb in, or the high priest would. He'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat. God, seeing through the shed blood, would forgive Israel of their sin. God proved that he loved us when he gave us his Son. He sent us his Son to die on the cross, to suffer and die and to bleed. And his precious blood paid for our sin. God loved us. This is important now. God loved us when we were still sinners.